Colliding Brains by Rudy Rucker and Bruce Sterling, read by Bruce Sterling. But why call this the end of the universe? Said Rabbitine Chandra, feeling the dry night air beat against her face. The rollicking hearse stank of cheap fried food, the dense urban reek, and the starry emptiness of the Nevada desert. At dawn, our universe's two brains collide in an annihilating sea of light. That's not death, technically speaking. That's a kalpa rebirth. Angelo Rasmussen tightened his pale, keyboard-punching hands on the hearse's cracked plastic wheel. His hearse was a retrofitted 1978 Volvo, which ran on recycled biodiesel cooking oil. You're switching to your Hindu mystic thing now, after getting me to break that story? I double-checked my physics references, Rabbitine offered with an incongruous giggle. Remember, I have a master's degree from San Jose State. Rabbitine knew that this was her final road trip. She'd been a good girl too long. She tapped chewing tobacco into a packet of ground betel nut. Her tongue and her gums were stained the color of fresh blood. The colliding brains will crush the stars and planets to a soup of hard radiation, she assured Angelo. Then they rebound instantly, forming brand new particles of matter and seeding the next cycle of the 12-dimensional cosmos. She spread her two hands violently to illustrate. Our former bodies will expand to the size of galactic superclusters. Angelo was eyeing her. I hope our bodies overlap. He wore a shy, eager smile. Given what you and I know, Rabbitine, we might as well be the last man and woman on Earth. He laid his hand on her thigh, but not too far up. I've thought that issue through, said Rabbitine, inexpertly jetting beetle spit out the window. Blowback stained her hand-stitched paisley blouse. We'll definitely make love, but not inside this hearse, okay? Let's find some quaint tourist cabins. As professional bloggers, Rabbitine and Angelo knew each other well. For 3 years, they'd zealously followed each other's daily doings via email, text messages, video posts, social networking, and comment threads. Yet, they'd never met in the flesh until today, their last day on Earth, the last day for the Earth, and, in stark fact, also for Earth's solar system, Earth's galaxy, Earth's local group galactic cluster, and Earth's whole 12-dimensional universe shebang. The end was near, and Rabbitine didn't care to watch the cosmos collapse from inside her cramped room in her parents' house in Fremont. Nor did Angelo want to meet the end in his survivalist bunker in the foothills of the Sierras near Fresno. A bunker which to untrained eyes resembled an abandoned barn in the middle of a sun-killed almond farm. So, after a dense flurry of instant messages, the two bloggers had joined forces and hit the Great American Road together, blasting one last trump from the hearse's dirge-like horn, a mournful yet powerful blast which echoed from Rabbitine's parents' pink stucco house and all through the table-flat development of 1,000 similar homes. Chastely sipping biodiesel through the apocalyptic traffic, they'd made it over Tioga Pass onto Nevada's Route 6 by midnight. They were out well ahead of mankind's last lemming-like rush to universal destruction. I've been obsessing over peak oil for years, Angelo confessed. He was feeling warm and expansive now that Rabbitine had promised him some pre-apocalypse sex. As a search term, my name is practically synonymous with it. But now I can't believe I was such a sap such a pissant when it came to comprehending the onrushing scope of this planet's disaster. I was off by, what is it, by a million orders of magnitude? Rabatine patted his flanneled arm supportively. Angelo was just a political scientist, so he was really cute when he carried on about orders of magnitude. He was rueful. I was so worried about climate change, financial singularities, and terror attacks on the Straits of Hormuz, and all the time the parallel brains were converging. He smacked the Volvo's cracked dashboard with the flat of his pale hand. I'm glad we escaped from the dense urban cores before the apocalypse. Once people fully realize the cosmic string theory is unraveling, they'll butcher each other like vicious animals. Don't insult our friends, the animals, said Rabatine, flirtatiously bending her wrists to hold her hands like little paws. Rabatine's What is Karmic Reality blog cleverly leveraged her interest in scientific interpretations of the Upanishads into a thriving medium for selling imported Indian clothes, handicrafts, and mosaics. Angelo, unable to complete his political science doctorate due to skyrocketing tuition costs, had left Stanford to run his own busy Ain't It Awful website. His site tracked major indicators for the imminent collapse of American society. The site served to market his print-on-demand tracts about the forthcoming apocalypse, which earned him a meager living. The end of the universe had begun with a comment from trusted user Cody on Rabatine's blog. Cody had linked to a preliminary lab report out of Bangalore's Bharat University. The archive.pdf report documented ongoing real-time changes in the fine structure constant. Subtle dark and light spectral lines hidden in ordinary light were sashaying right up the spectrum. Rabatine had pounced on this surprising news as soon as it hit her monitor, deftly transforming the dry physics paper into an interactive web page with user-friendly graphic design. To spice up her post for user eyeballs, she'd cross-linked it to the well-known cyclic universe scenario. This cosmological theory predicted that the fundamental constants of physics would change rapidly whenever two parallel membranes of the cosmic 12 dimensions were about to, as Layman put it, collide. Although Rabatine didn't feel supremely confident about the cataclysmic cyclic universe scenario, that theory was rock solid compared to the ramshackle inflationary notion that had grown up to support the corny, old-school Big Bang. Cosmologists had been tinkering with the tired Big Bang theory for over 50 years. Their rickety, overwrought notions had so many patches, upgrades, and downright mythologies that even the scheme of a cosmos churned from a sea of galactic cow milk by a giant Hindu cobra seemed logical by comparison. After Rabatine's post, Angelo had horned into the act, following a link to Rabatine posted by that same user, Cody, on Angelo's Ain't It Awful blog. With the help of vocal contributors from a right-wing activist site, Angelo quickly unearthed a pirated draft of speechwriter's notes for an impending presidential oration. Tonight, the U.S. president was planning to blandly deny that the cosmos was ending. The leaked speech made commentary boil like a geyser on Angelo's catastrophe blog, especially since, unable to keep his loyal users in the dark, he'd been forced to announce to them that their entire universe was kaput. The likelihood of this event was immediately obvious to loyal fans of Ain't It Awful, and the ripples were spreading fast. Listen, Rabatine, said Angelo, tentatively slowing the hearse. Why bother to find a motel It's not like we want to sleep during our last night on Earth. It'd be crazy to waste these precious few remaining hours. Don't you want to dream one more great dream? He turned his thin, abstracted face from the bug-splattered windshield, his expression gentler than she'd expected. I'd rather post one last great blog post. Exactly how many minutes do we have left in our earthly existence? Their Linux laptops nestled together on the gray-carpeted floor of the hearse, the screens glowing hotly, the power cords jacked into a luxurious, double-socketed cigarette lighter extension. USB jacks sucked internet access from a Fresnel antenna that Angelo had made from metal tape, then jammed on the hearse's roof. Rabatine plopped her warm laptop onto her skirted thighs. She scrolled through a host of frantic posts from her overexcited readers. Still, almost 500 minutes, she said thoughtfully. It's 2 a.m. here, and the latest doom estimate is for 10:20 a.m. local time. This scientist woman, net friend of mine, Hentika Kusk from Estonia, she says that near the end, the force of gravity will become a quantized step function. 6 minutes after that, the strong force drops to the point where our quarks and gluons fly apart. And then the big splat hits us. Full interbrain contact comes 7 yocto seconds after our protons and neutrons decay. 7 yocto seconds? Angelo's gauzy, policy-oriented knowledge of hard science was such that he couldn't be entirely sure when Rabatine was serious. That's 7 septillionths of a second, clarified Rabatine. A short time, but a definite gap. It's a shame, really. Thanks to our crude, nucleon-based human bodies, we'll miss the hottest cosmic action since the start of our universe 14 billion years ago. But Angelo, if we hug each other ever so tightly, our quarks will become as one. And with this, she laughed again. You think that's funny? I don't know. Isn't it funny? How could it not be funny? If I let myself cry, that'll be worse. There's no time left to weep and mourn, not even for ourselves, mused Angelo. I realize that you approach the problem of death in your own way. That motto you posted, the dewdrop slides into the shining sea. Rabatine was moved by the proof that he'd been reading her blog. She clapped her glowing laptop shut and gazed out at the stricken moon above a purple ridge of low mountains. The moon looks so different now, doesn't it? It's redder. The changes in the fundamental constants will affect all electromagnetic phenomena. No more need for fancy big science instruments, Angelo. We can see the changes in the fundamental constants of physics with our own wet, tender eyeballs. She wiped her eyes, smudging her lashes. In a way, it's wonderful that everything will dissolve together. The mountains and the moon, the rich and the poor, all the races and colors. The road's fevered white line pulsed against Angelo's pale blue eyes. When he spoke again, his voice had turned grating and paranoid. I keep trying for the high road, Rabatine, but I can't fully buy that this is the end. I've got a feeling that certain shadowy figures have been preparing for this. There are so many hints on the internet. You want to know the real truth about where we're going? Tell me, Angelo. Rabatine valued his insights into human society, which was a system she herself had trouble confronting. Cody calls it the Black Egg. It's hidden in the Tonopah Test Range, a secret base in Nevada right near Area 51. He says the fascist slave masters have built a backdoor escape route out of our condemned cosmos. That's where we're headed, said Rabatine, sounding dubious. On Cody's say-so? Those in the know have an inside track to the Black Egg survival pod against the collapse of the universe. As major intellectual figures in the blogosphere, we should definitely be going there, right? Why should we be left outside the Dr. Strangelove mineshaft bunker when the Lords of Creation have their own transhuman immortality? Rabatine was unconvinced. Oh, Angelo, why do you always blog so much about rulers and power? Everything's emergent. The old white men on top are helpless idiots. They're like foam on a tsunami. Can bacteria stop a bucket of bleach?
You're naive, said Angelo loftily.
Do you think it's mere coincidence that we were contacted and guided by a heavy operator like Cody? You're a key blogger on weird physics, and I rank with the world's foremost citizen journalists.
But Cody is just some blog commenter, said Rabatine slowly. The frank lunacy of the black egg story made her uneasy.
Cody never seemed like a particularly helpful guy to me. He's more like a snoop, a troll, and a snitch.
He's just geeky, Rabatine. Cody doesn't have a whole lot of human social skills.
On my blog, he comes across like a stalker.
He told me he's a veteran working physicist, employed on black ops projects by the federal government, a lonely old man whose whole life has been top secret. I had to work hard at it, but I've won Cody over. He never had any trace of freedom in his life except for the internet. He thinks of you and me as his most intimate friends.
Okay, fine, said Rabatine. Why not the Tonopah test range, if that makes you happy?
But rather than smiling at her agreeability, Angelo was antsy. I wish you hadn't said that. Now you've got me all worried. What if Cody is lying to me? All that amazing physics data could be clever disinformation. Maybe he's just some kind of crazy online pervert who, for whatever twisted reason...
Rabatine aimed a brave smile at her friend's tormented face. Look, that sign says Tonopah, and there's a nice little motel.
Angelo instantly slewed the heavy hearse into the dark, empty parking lot. Despite the late hour, the motel office door yawned open with a trapezoid of light on the gravel. Springy on his sneakered feet, Angelo hopped out of the hearse and into the motel office. Stretching the travel kinks from her back, Rabatine noticed a dull glow in the valley beyond the ridge. That must be the whipped old mining town of Tonopah. An all but defunct burg like that shouldn't be emitting so much flickering light and hot glare.
Oh, Tonopah was on fire.
Squinting into the distance, Rabatine could make out motorcycles buzzing Tonopah's back streets like hornets. Some of the night riders carried torches, leaving spark-spewing trails in the gloom.
"We don't want to stay around here," said Angelo, returning to her. Carefully, disturbingly, he wiped his feet on the gravel, leaving dark stains. Blood.
A vagrant breeze wafted whoops and screams across the dark hills.
"The owner's been killed," said Rabatine. Hollowness filled her chest. Oh, God, I don't want to be slaughtered by psychos. I want to flash out with a big splat."
"Don't panic," said Angelo, hugging her. "Don't panic yet." He stepped back and showed her a trophy tucked in the back of his belt, a .45 automatic pistol. "You see? The owner was web surfing. He had this handgun right next to his mouse. Somebody lopped his head clean off while he was staring into his screen."
Angelo handed her the pistol butt first. "The clip's full. That survival newbie never fired one shot in his own defense."
Rabatine shuddered as she handled the weapon. Beyond the motel's sordid lot, a pair of monster trucks bounced side by side down the two-lane highway, their multiple headlights beaming crazed, jittering cones.
"Maybe we shouldn't go through Tonopah."
"I'll drive like a maniac and you'll fire wildly," Angelo advised, "so it'll be fine. Let me give you the précis on this Colt military automatic, As a survivalist, I've logged a lot of hours on this model. It's easy, except for the recoil. You hold it in both hands and gently squeeze the trigger. Try that. Off at the edge of the motel lot, Rabatine saw a suspicious shadow, something looping, boiling, rippling like heat haze. The head lopper? She hastily squeezed off a shot. The pistol kicked upward with a flash and a deafening bang. The window of a motel unit blew out with a musical crash of glass. Then ominous total silence. If there had been any guests in this lonely motel, they were all gone or murdered. Yet there was still a roiling phantom shape in the farthest corner of the parking lot, a midnight dust devil or a smear of tears across her vision. It was definitely time to go. Let's access some mashup internet maps, said Angelo, powering up the hearse with a biodiesel splutter. I know the test range is on the far side of Tonopah, but of course the site's fully concealed from the sheep-like American public. Rabatine piled into the paint-blistered hearse with him, suddenly cheered by the utter recklessness of their plan. The last night of mankind's existence, how could it be any other way than this? Car doors locked and windows up, smelly gun near to hand, she crouched elbow to elbow with her friend, connecting to the global mind, comforted by her talismanic laptop. Why do you suppose that Google Maps doesn't even list any super secret labs? She complained. Angelo toyed with the wheel, inching the car across the gravel, waiting patiently as a midnight slew of cars blasted from the darkness down Highway 6. That's easy. I mean, I'm a dropout from Stanford, and Sergey and Larry are both dropouts from Stanford too, but unlike me, they're covering for the man because they sold out. Oh wait, said Rabatine, Google just linked me to a nutcase map site with tons of great info. The Tonopah test range is just past the Tonopah airport. It butts in to Groom Lake where people see, like, aliens from other dimensions. And get this, the test range has their own secret part, and that's Area 52. Wow, said Angelo. A raging 18-wheeler pattered gravel across their windshield. That's one digit higher than 51. Rabatine's iPhone emitted the stunning clank, clank of a steam hammer. She'd once missed a vitally important instant message, so her alert preferences were set to maximum stun. She bumped her head on the grimy dashboard as she lunged for her sleek device. It's Cody! Cody is trying to hit me! Huh, said Angelo. Don't read it. I hot to see you too, N4K3D. Read Rabatine. She glared at Angelo. Hot to see you two naked. What does that mean? What on earth did you tell that guy? I had to social engineer him so he'd help us break into the Black Egg. Like I said, Cody is a very lonely old man. You told him that you'd post photos of us naked? No, I didn't say that exactly, said Angelo, his voice almost wistful. It's worse. I told him I'd stream us having sex on live webcam video. He straightened his shoulders. I had to tell him something like that, Rabatine. I lied to him. And really, at this point, so what? What possible difference does it make? The whole universe is about to melt. Rabatine frowned down at her pistol, turning it over in her hands. She was momentarily tempted to shoot Angelo, but stifled the impulse. It was amazing how many user-friendly little clicks and snicks the pistol had. Anyway, my gambit worked on him, said Angelo. He patted the iPhone, which lay on the seat, its message still showing. See the digits on the bottom of the screen? Cody also sent you the GPS coordinates to the site. He punched tiny buttons on a squat plastic gizmo, suction cup to the dash of his hearse. Continue Highway 6 through Tonopah, said the genteel female voice of Angelo's GPS navigation unit. Turn right at unmarked dirt road number 37A. Jaw set, Angelo peeled out of the lot and barreled through the crumbling heart of the stricken desert settlement. Knots of drunken, flare-wielding marauders were barricading the streets with smoldering debris. Angelo accelerated through a flaming police sawhorse, and Ravatine braced her heavy pistol in both hands, firing wildly and shrieking flame war abuse through the open window. Overawed by the style of the loons in the hearse, the rioters let them pass. Then they motored sedately through the eastern outskirts of blacked-out Tonopah, past burning tract homes and empty desert shacks, past the silent airport and the abandoned mines. As they turned off onto the dirt side road, Rabatine mimicked the feminine voice of the GPS navigator. "Suggestion, what if I posted naked pictures of myself with this gun?" She shoveled in a fresh chew of beetle. "What kind of user response would I get?" "You mean if your users weren't torn apart into their constituent quarks?" Angelo smiled and took her hand. He was feeling buoyant. The world was definitely ending, in fire and blood, just as he'd always guessed, and yet he'd finally found a woman meant for him. With that sweet, frank way she had of cutting to the core of an issue without ever delivering anything useful, Rabatine Chandra was the very soul of bloggerdom. His last night on Earth felt as vast and endless as a crumpled galaxy, while the full moon had gone the shape and color of a dry, squeezed blood orange. The clumps of sage were pale purple. The world Angelo inhabited had finally come to look and feel just like the inside of his own head. Incredible to think that he and Rabatine might be the last human beings ever to witness this landscape. It was as if they owned it. "Isn't that a guardhouse ahead?" said Rabatine. "If you want to crash through that, I can lay down some covering fire, at least till I run out of bullets." The GPS crooned sedately from the dash. "Proceed through. Security gate 233X, traveling 22 miles. Further into the Tonopah test range to destination area 52. "I'd hoped Cody would be waiting for us at this security gate," said Angelo, slowing the hearse, "but I guess he never leaves his supercomputer console." His nerves were fraying again. "The guards around here are brainwashed killing machines, mindlessly devoted to the fugitive neoconservatives of the Area 52 escape pod. If I stop, they'll extradite us to Guantanamo. If I pull a U-turn, they'll chase us down with predator aircraft. If I barrel through this gate, we'll smash head-on into their truck-bomb tank traps." "Oh, stop talking like that," said Rabatine. "It's 3 a.m. on their last night on Earth. How devoted to duty can those guys be? Don't they have any girlfriends or kids?" The glum little concrete guardhouse that defended the test range was in fact deserted. The razor wire chain link moaned in the wind, and the striped traffic arm pointed uselessly at the starry sky. The hearse rolled into the empty desert compound, the narrow military road gently curving around peaks that sat on the sand like giant Zen boulders. Here and there, old war-gamed jeeps had been shot to pieces from helicopters. Except for this ritualized military debris, there was only the moon and the mountains, the silence broken by periodic updates from the GPS unit. To cover his growing embarrassment, Angelo propped his laptop onto the dash. Automatically, he clicked for his blog. "Oh my God!" Terror gripped Rabatine's heart. "What? What now? Look at my traffic spike! My Webalizer stats are right off the charts! Drudge Report, Boing Boing, Huffington Post, they're all sucking my dust! I rule the net tonight! Everybody's linking to me!" "What about my blog?" she asked. "I blogged the big splat before you did." "This is fantastic!" continued Angelo. "I'm finally fully validated as an independent citizen journalist." Rabatine jealously moused around his screen. "Damn it, my own site is totally crashed. Why doesn't your traffic max out when you get slash dotted so hard?" "My ain't it awful site is scalable, babe. I pay full service on the Amazon web cloud, and they just keep adding servers. This is the last night on Earth. No one will ever beat my post for traffic. I'm the greatest blogger in the history of the planet. Rabatine considered this boast. Though galling, it had to be true. Her boyfriend was the greatest blogger in the world. Except nobody would really call Angelo her boyfriend because they'd never even kissed. Feeling let down, she stroked the glassy screen of her iPhone, scroll flicking her way through a rolling list of friends and landing on, why not, Professor Dr. Hentika Kusk, the Estonian string theorist. Dr. Kusk was a kindly, grandmotherly scholar, a woman of the world, who'd always been very kind to the gawky physics enthusiast named Rabatine Chandra. Rabatine pecked out a text message on the phone's eerie virtual keyboard. About to have sex with Angelo Rasmussen inside Area 52. She thumb-smeared send and launched her confession into cell phone space. She was glad she'd told a confidant. Blogger that she was, it always felt better to tell somebody than to do something. Moments passed, and then the phone emitted its signature clank, a sober incoming reply from Hentika Kusk. Fare thee well, Rabatine. Farewell forever, Dr. Kusk, typed Rabatine, her heart filling. She slid a glance over at Angelo, who was steering with one hand while trying to type with the other. She considered cozying up to him and working her wiles, but just then, with another clank, here came a mass mailing to Hentika Kusk's extensive buddy list. OMG, OMG, OMG! Rabatine Karmic Reality is hooking up with Angelo, ain't it awful? Within seconds, a follow-up fusillade tumbled onto Rabatine's phone display and laptop screen, from handhelds, from Twitter streams, from MySpace pages, gossipy whoops and snarks, cheerful shout-outs and me toos, messages from half the women Rabatine knew. Angelo glanced over, his eyebrows kinked. What's the excitement? Oh, it's just my silly, romantic women friends. Don't let me distract you from fondling your famous blog. Angelo was gentlemanly enough to close his laptop. We're being fools. What do you say we pull over now? He tapped a button on the GPS unit for a distance update. Area 52 is now 12 miles. The robotic voice twisted into a sudden, anguished squawk. The device sputtered, chirped, and went dark. Reflexively concerned about any loss in connectivity, Rabatine lifted her cell phone. Its display had gone black. Those wonky Apple batteries. Try your laptop, said Angelo. Rabatine read from its screen. You are not connected to the internet. And then, like a cranky, spoiled child finally falling asleep, her laptop, too, went dark. And then, oh dear, the car died. Wrestling the stiff power steering, Angelo guided them to rest in a curved billow of roadside sand. It was quiet here, so very quiet. The wind whispered. The red moon glowed. Rabatine spoke aloud just to hear her own voice. I was sort of expecting this. Electrical circuits can't work anymore. Too much drift and the fundamental constants of electromagnetism. Like a power failure affecting the whole Earth, said Angelo. It's much more than a power failure, and not just our sweet little Earth. It's the entire universe. Angelo sighed. For years, people called me paranoid. Now I finally know I was a realist. I was truly perceptive and insightful. I was never a fringe, crank intellectual. I was a major public thinker. I should have had a wife, kids. I should have had tenure and a MacArthur grant. Should Rabatine declare her love for him? It was on the tip of her tongue. He was oh so close in the rosily moon-dappled car. She reached out and touched his face. There's one important part I still don't get, said Angelo doggedly. Aren't our nerves electrical? We should be fainting or passing out, but I'm still thinking, and my heart's still beating. It's beating for you. Human nerves are mostly chemical, said Rabatine, her voice rising to a squeak. She made a lunge for him. At last they kissed. We could lose our ability to think and feel at any moment, Angelo said presently. So, it's the back of my hearse, or it's the sand, unless you want to get out and hunt for Cody's black Easter egg. Rabatine turned and gazed behind herself. The hearse did have white silk ruffles, and the weirdly altered moonlight, those were kind of romantic. As they bucked against each other, bellies slapping vivid and relentless, it occurred to Rabatine that she and Angelo were just like the two cosmic brains. It could be claimed that the once distant brains were violently colliding, but that was a very male way to frame what was happening. If you laid out your 12-dimensional coordinate system differently, the brains passed through one another and emerged, re-energized and fecund on the other side of that event. It was like the urge to have sex, which was loud and pestering and got all the press, as opposed to the urge to have children, which was even more powerful, obliteratingly powerful, only nobody could sell that to men. Afterward came the urge to abandon all awareness and slide into deep black sleep, which no one could resist. Cuddled in the sweaty crook of Angelo's arm, Rabatine tumbled straight over the edge of nightmare. She saw a lipless, billowing, yellow-eyed face peering into the side window of the hearse. Its enormous mouth gaped in woozy appetite, yawning and slamming like some drug-drenched door of perception. The otherworldly visitation of a Hindu demon. Had she dreamed that? Angelo! She poked his ribs. But he was offline, a blissful, snoring mass. She retrieved the gun from the front seat and stared with grainy-eyed, murderous intent into the moonlit desert. Despite her fear and wariness, she couldn't keep her lids open. Red, distorted sunlight woke them through the windows of the hearse. "Oh no, here it comes!" yipped Angelo, sitting up with a start. He'd mistaken the rising sun for the final cosmic conflagration, and not without reason, for the solar disk was 10 times its usual diameter, and the light it shed was as dim as the clouded gaze of a stroke victim. The world outside their hearse was rendered in faded technicolor. The skewed interaction between light, matter, and their human retinas was tinting the sage red, the sand a pale green, the sky canary yellow. With icy, tingling fingers, Rabatine grabbed Angelo's wrist, trying to read his watch. "It can't already be time for the end, can it?" "My watch has a wrecked battery now," said Angelo. "But if the sun's coming up, then it must be about 6 a.m., right? We've still got, what, 4 hours to hunt for the black egg?" Rabatine's bare belly rumbled. "Do you have any breakfast?" "Of course! Angelo Rasmussen is the complete survivalist. I don't always have great sex with gorgeous Californian tech chicks, but I always have food and water." As she preened a little, he dug into the wheel well. "Here we go, fruit leather and freeze-dried granola." They munched companionably, sitting with their legs dangling out the hearse's open back door. Rabatine felt happier than ever before in her life, out of her mind with head over heels, neck yourself silly, romantic bonding. It was beyond ironic that this would happen to her just now. "Do you really think a lame stalker like Cody could dodge the big splat?" she essayed. "I'd love to hope that's the truth. I mean, now that we're together, it would be such a great ending if somehow..." "Not looking good," said Angelo, staring into the party-colored desert gloom. "If Cody's story was for real, we should see scads of black helicopters flying in here with all kinds of fat cats saving themselves from destruction." "Even your black helicopters can't work today," said Rabatine a little impatiently. "It's not just the batteries, Angelo. It's spark plugs, ignition, control chips, everything. No electrical machine will ever function again." Seeing his stricken look, she tried to soothe him. "Maybe all the refugees are here already. Maybe they're all crowded into the Brain Collision Survival Pod. Imagine the fun when they see us. The black egg of Area 52, said Angelo, drawing fresh strength from the idea. Let's walk there. I'm ready. We'll walk to the end of the Earth. Angelo loaded a stained, cocky knapsack with food and water, daintily lotioned his skin, and even produced a couple of wide-brimmed hats, blister packs, and a telescoping metal walking stick. Rabatine Rasmussen, he murmured as they gamely trudged the sandy road. What a fantastic name! That would be a King Hell blogger handle. Rabatine's heart glowed with joy. They came to a fork in the troubled road, with both alternatives equally bleak. My compass is useless now, Angelo griped. Also, I think the sun is exploding. Indeed, the swollen, ruddy sun was spiky with fractalized flares. Its face was mottled with dark, writhing sunspots, vast cavities into the star's inner layers. Old Man Sol was visibly breathing his last. It was like seeing a beloved parent succumb to a disfiguring disease. They picked the road to the left and slogged forward. Rabatine's love-smitten psyche was bubbling over with happy thoughts, yet fear goblins ran fast behind, eating them. Compulsively, her mind returned to that demonic toad face she'd glimpsed in the midnight of her soul. But she didn't share this inner terror with Angelo. He'd only make fun of her, or worse, drive himself frantic with speculation. Their few remaining moments of togetherness were passing all too fast. There was no sign of any secret base or of any human beings at all. They were trudging endless, badly colored terrain and utter forlornness, like the last two holdout players in some outdated internet game. Angelo was stumbling, leaning heavily on his fancy high-tech walking stick. My feet are asleep, he complained. Me too. Rabatine rubbed one tingling hand against another. I guess the changes in the electrical constants are finally getting to our nerves and our bodies. Against her will, a sudden wail forced itself from her. Oh, Angelo, do you love me? Did I forget to say that? I get so distracted sometimes. Yes, I love you. I do love you. I'd post it in letters of fire bigger than the sun. This declaration revived her a little. They wobbled on, teetering on their rubbery ankles. Angelo was thinking hard. How strange it was that a woman's welcoming body could nail a man to the fabric of space and time. This was a mystical proof to him that sexual intercourse was an inherent part of the fabric of the universe. His brain was working very fast, as if some kind of electrochemical friction had vanished inside his skull, but the fringes of his nervous system were fading. It was terrible to know he would soon die, and worse to know that Rabatine's kindly, ardent body would smear across the cosmos like a spin painting. Look, she cried, another unguarded open gate. They tottered through, their knees wobbling. In the fractured crystalline distance, they could see sun-blasted buildings and a sandy airstrip. It's too far, added Rabatine, bursting into tears, and we're too slow. We won't make it. They sat in the shadow of a boulder, arms around each other, awaiting the end, or the strength to rise and slog on. But now a deep rumble filled their ears. Sand rose into the air, as if blown by an impalpable gale. Rocks flew off the mountains with the ease of tumbling dice. The two lovers fell upwards. There was frantic, incomprehensible activity all around them, as if they were mice in the grinding engine of a merry-go-round. Like the maculated sun overhead, the planet's surface had come unmoored. Geological strata had gently unpacked like the baked layers of a baklava, sending the surface debris crashing about in search of new equilibria. Eerie pink sunlight glittered from the hearse's window as, Plucked from beyond the horizon, it tumbled past them, its hood and doors slamming rhythmically, bouncing up the slopes of the nearest peak. In ordinary times, the earthquake noise alone might have crushed their clinging bodies, but the booming of this planetary destruction was oddly muted and gentle. The fundamental constants had plateaued for a moment. A new order of gravity settled in, with everything that could come loose from the Earth being messily sorted according to its mass. Belatedly, a reluctant mountain tore itself loose and rose ponderously into the lemon sky. Rabatine and Angelo were floating a few score yards above the remains of the ancient desert, a patch of fine dust beneath a layer of sand with pebbles admixed, topped by bones, sticks, stones, and target range military rubble. A venomous little Gila monster tumbled past them, dislodged from some flying mountain redoubt, its stubby tail twisting, its skin glittering like a beaded armband. Angelo's blown mind irritably snatched for facts. "Are those nerve gas canisters up there? They're like weather balloons." He beat his helpless legs against the empty air and began to twist in place. "Can you explain this to me, Ms. Karmic Science?" Rabatine's mind had frozen with awe. The mountains of the firmament were floating across the spotted face of the bloated sun. She had no way to think clearly, with thunderhead shelves of granite and feldspar poised to crush her. "Hold me, Angelo! You're drifting away! I want to be with you to the very end!" "We're doomed," said Angelo. He squinted into the hazy, polymorphous distances. The stark concrete hangars and wooden shacks of Area 52 were piled in midair like badly assembled IKEA shelving. The humbled remnants of the secret federal base showed no signs of life. No super scientists, no fat cats there, no black egg. All those cogent hints about close encounters in the American Southwest with psychic saucer craft, and nobody was even here. People were so cynical about the miraculous that they couldn't even bother to show up. "I can almost feel that other brain arriving now," said Rabatine. "Once the force of gravity has changed, we only have 6 minutes. "Cody!" hollered Angelo, his voice echoing off the floating islands of stone. He cupped his hands around his mouth. "Help us, Cody!" "Come on, Cody!" shrieked Rabatine. Giggling shrilly, she grappled at Angelo. Her fingers were numb, and the flesh of his neck and shoulders felt spongy and strange. "The desert's so beautiful, Cody, especially upside down. We had great sex, and next time you can watch us, I promise." "Cody, Cody, Cody!" A lens-like shape formed in midair, magnifying the tumbleweeds and boulders. Slowly, it opened a dark throat. "Hello?" said Angelo. The blackness folded in on itself and took form. The hole became crooked, then everted like a giant origami tentacle. It swayed around in midair like a hungry feeler. It took note of the two of them. The warped tentacle wriggled and dimpled. The tip flexed to assume the shape of a staring, glistening face. Complex forces within the bulging shape were manipulating it like a sock puppet. The eyes bulged like a rubber mask. The mouth stretched and gaped like a toad's. "Cody," said Angelo, yet again, one arm wrapped around Rabatine. "Are you here to save us?" The demonic toad twisted his head this way and that. He had large golden eyes. "Do I look properly embodied within your planet's three spatial dimensions?" "No," Rabatine squeaked, stiff with unearthly terror. "You look like hell." "Interaction was so much easier on the internet," said the toad, smacking his thin lips. "It's a lot of trouble to manifest this low-dimensional form to you." The creature's voice was like modulated white noise, like sand sculpted into letters. "I saw him last night, Angelo," cried Rabatine. "I saw him peeking into the hearse, and he was in the motel parking lot. Cody was stalking us."
"I was monitoring you," said Cody, his head billowing like a black pillowcase. "You two alone have reached Area 52, naturally selected from the many billions on your planet. You are like sperm cells beating their way up a long canal."
"To reach the black egg," completed Angelo hurriedly. His molecules felt overstretched.
"Okay, yes, here we are. Let us inside."
Cody leered at them provokingly.
"The Cosmic Mother," he said, "is the immortal entity that fills the band of hyperspace between the twin brains of the cosmos. I am the tip of one of Mother's many tentacles, if you can imagine that."
"Of course we can imagine that," jabbered Rabatine. "Don't let us die." "Let us in," repeated Angelo. His fingers felt and looked like orange circus peanuts.
"This black egg is prepared for you, my blogger friends," said Cody simply. "The universe is collapsing, so the Cosmic Mother has placed a black egg on every space and place that supports intelligence. Billions of eggs spewed in the cosmos like dewdrops in the shining sea."
"Oh, Cody," said Rabatine, "you read my blog, too."
"Of course I do. Physics is collapsing, but the network will persist. All the black eggs are linked via quantum entanglement, telepathy, if you will."
Momentarily, Angelo forgot his fears. "Wow, I always wanted some telepathy."
"There's also infinite connectivity and infinite storage in the network of eggs," Cody evangelized. "The network has an infinite number of users. They're all upset and angry, just like you, because they're all indignant to see their universe collapse. They all believed they were the most important aspect of the universe. Imagine the confusion. We have an infinite number of anthropic principles, one for each race."
"Then you'll need moderators," said Rabatine practically. "You need some users that know how to link and comment."
"Absolutely we do," said Cody. "This cosmic cycle was planned out and architected rather poorly. It's closing down much earlier than the Cosmic Mother expected. Instead of crashing like this, the universes are supposed to get more stable with each new release."
"We're just the kick-ass bloggers you need," crowed Angelo. "We can keep up our moaning and complaining for millions of years, assuming that we're rewarded for our efforts. I mean, is there any kind of revenue stream inside there?"
"You'll lack for nothing inside your race's black egg," leered Cody. "Except your human need to eat or breathe. There will be sex, of course. There's always sex on the net. The Cosmic Mother adores sex."
"Wow," said Rabatine.
"Now come closer to me," said the toad-headed tentacle. "Technical detail. Your black egg is a hyperdisk where the brains are riveted together via a wormhole link in the 12th dimension. In this one special region, it's down my gullet, the brains can't collide. I know your primitive minds can't understand that. Think of me as a pine cone that protects a tree's seeds from the heat of a fierce wildfire."
Angelo shook his bloating hands. "Never mind the license agreements, just sign us up and log us in." Rabatine had to annotate. "Really, Cody, I think it's more accurate to say the cosmic brains pass through each other serenely."
"Ah, you refer to the Twisterman coordinatization," said Cody, his bloated demon head expanding with a ragged jolt. "Yes, under that viewpoint, we'll all be transformed into our mirror images. If you calculate in terms of the diffeomorphic quiver bundles, then it's Hurry up!
Screamed Angelo, losing his composure as his left thumb snapped off.
Fine, said Cody. Over the next 10 million years, we can discuss these issues fully.
His wide mouth gaped open. The inside looked dank and slimy. Rabatine felt another flicker of unease. Could it be that Cody was an underworld demon, after all? Under his promise of cosmic transformation, was he luring them to a fate infinitely worse than mere death? How would the toad behave any differently if he were doing that? Cody waited, with his silent mouth agape. Up in the sky, the sun went out. The stars and moon were gone as well. Utter darkness reigned. A shrill buzz filled the non-existent air and slid menacingly down the scale. Pressing together, Angelo and Rabatine crawled into the toad's mouth. Pushing and pulling, moving as one, the lovers wriggled their way down to the womb of the black egg, and of our world they saw no more. Within the egg's 12-dimensional kalpas, time and space regressed. There was neither room nor duration in which to hunger, to tire, or draw a human breath. Yet, in another sense, this was a weightless and limitless utopian paradise in which happy Nitibar and Rai Olegna could gamble and embrace. The mortal races of the next universe would occasionally comment on two glorious superclusters, titanic arcs of creative energy, stenciling the void like a net, sharp and sleek, stable and sweet, weaving the warp and weft of the reborn cosmos.